are at the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, 77b. Dam Shnis Arev B'mayim, the lower Mishnah, not the upper Mishnah. Dam Shnis Arev B'mayim, if blood gets mixed in with other materials, that's the topic in general for the Mishnah. So actually, you can see on the table that I gave you on the sheet. We're going to talk about dam, blood from a carbon, mixed in with water, mixed in with wine, mixed in with blood of a chulin, behema, or chaya, mixed in with blood of a pasul carbon, or with blood that itself is ineligible. It comes from a valid carbon, but it's dam atamtzis, the blood that was squeezed out, not blood that came out as dam hanefesh and was eligible for zrika on the mizbeach. So we walk through it one by one. Dam shenizar b'mayim, if the blood gets mixed in with water, im yesh bo mariz dam, kosher. If it has the appearance of blood, then it's kosher. You can do zrikas hadam with it, so long as it has that appearance. We go by appearances. Nisari beyayin, second case, mixed in with wine. Roen oso ki'ilu humayim. We see it as though it is water. Now our havamina is that we're talking about wine. We treat it as though the wine is water. We'll see if that actually holds water, so to speak, through the Gemara. But the assumption is, what we're doing is we look at the wine as though it's water, and we ask ourselves, does this thing look like, if the wine was water, would it be enough to dilute the blood such that it would no longer look like blood, or not? So we're going by we're still going by appearances, even though they both look the same. We treat it it's a means of determining the ratio that matters. Third case. Nisari bedam behema o bedam hachaya gets mixed in with a behema, and we mean, as Rashi says, da bedam behema shel chulin, or bedam hachaya, the blood of a chaya. So no, there are no such thing as carbonos that come from a chaya. Roen oso ki ilu hu mayim. So we view this chulin blood that is mixed in with the blood of the carbon, ki'ilu humayim, as though it was water, and we do the same formulation that we did with the wine. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on this point. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein dam mevatel dam. He says, blood cannot nullify blood. If you go back to Rashi on the previous slide, in Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, just before we jump to the page, Rashi explains, demin bimino lo batel. If you have two items in a mixture and they are both of the same variety, they're not the same halachic variety for our purposes. One is chulin and one is kachim, and in fact one may be from one type of animal, one may be from another type of animal. Nonetheless, they're all called the same entity. They're all called blood. This is called a mixture of blood and blood, min bimino, a type with its own type, and the rule is there is no such thing as bitul. Even if it's one drop of blood in a big barrel of carbon blood, in a big barrel of non-carbon blood, it's not batel. That'll work to help us in this case. Generally speaking, the rule of min b'min lo batel is not our friend, right? Generally speaking, it gives us trouble.
Well, we said by the Korban Pesach that they would gather all the blood that would
exactly
be on the floor.
Right, so there it helps us as well. But generally speaking, in the laws of kashrus, where you want to achieve bittul very often, you want to say, I'm going to nullify whatever random thing fell into the food, min bimino isn't going to help you. Min bimino, we're going to say, is not bittul. Finally, nisari bedam psulin, we're on the top of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, if the blood from the carbon gets mixed in with blood of psulin, carbonos that are disqualified, yishafech la'ama, so it is poured out by the ama, it is poured out by the mizbeach, and Rashi explains, v'afilu ha-kosher rabba alav, even if there's a lot of kosher blood mixed in, doesn't make a difference, we pour it out. If it gets mixed in with damatamtzis, blood that is no good, it is poured out as well. Rabbi Eliezer machshir, but Rabbi Eliezer says no. This is actually going to be acceptable. The Gemara is going to come back to why that is. Imlo nimlach v'nasan kosher. Now Rabbi Eliezer's acceptance is not only about damatamtzis. Rabbi Eliezer's acceptance is also where the blood of the carbon got mixed in with blood from carbonos that were pasul. He says there it's kosher as well. And this last line also refers to both of those cases. Imlo nimlach v'nasan, if the Kohen didn't ask any questions, he said, oh, here's blood, I guess it's supposed to go on the mizbeach. And he did the zrika. The rule is kosher. The zrika is effective. So far, so good?
And is the carbon... Yeah, I guess.
Then the carbon seems to be valid, correct.
Why is the
So we're going to have to see that in the Gemara. It's going to be Xeris HaKasif. We'll see it when not today, but going ahead in the Gemara, we'll see it. The two questions that are worth noting, I gave you there asterisks on the table. Number one, if I actually have blood from Chayos, or blood from Behemoth that's Chulin, mixed in, I put it on the Mizbeach, Tosus points out that you're putting Chulin on the Mizbeach, right? We know it, you know it as a fact. You're putting Chulin on the Mizbeach. It's mixed in, but it's still there. So Tosus's answer is, that's okay, because your main goal is to do the Zrika of the kosher blood, not for the sake of putting on the other. And of course, that raises the question, well, this is Psik Reishe. It's a guaranteed result. I don't care what your intent is. And the Ayala Shachar of Steinman offers a very interesting approach. He redefines Psik Reishe. He says, we say Psik Reishe is a problem. Remember, Psik Reishe is for a Shabbos. If something is a guaranteed result of my actions, if I'm cutting off the head of a chicken, because I want a chicken's head, not because I want to kill the chicken, I'm still chayiv, right? I'm still liable because you're not allowed to do something in which the guaranteed result is prohibited. So he suggests maybe that's not entirely true.
Yeah,
no, we hope Sik Reishe is a problem. We pass it that way. It's possible. I don't remember 100%. But the idea that he suggests is that Psik Reishe is a problem where the Isser is the end result, as opposed to where the Isser is the action that you are performing. Like I drag a table and it makes a ditch in the ground, and it's guaranteed to make a ditch in the ground. I'm talking about where it might not. It's guaranteed to make a ditch in the ground. I have a problem. Why? Because the Isser is the result. It's the ditch. And that's what I don't want. I do want to drag the table. I want the action. I don't want the ditch, not because ditches are bad, but because it's usser to me. So that's where we say the fact that you didn't want the ditch doesn't help you, because you just didn't want it because it was usser, right? You achieved what you wanted. Here, in this discussion, he says, maybe not. Maybe the Isser is the act of doing the Zrika, and maybe that would cause me to distinguish. That was one point. It's really worthy of a longer discussion. The other point is, what about Kisoy Adam? You have the blood from the Chaya, and you're putting it on the Mizbeach. When are you going to do Kisoy Adam? Right? You have to cover the blood of a Chaya. Behema, no, but Chaya, yes. So the Dam Zavacham asks this question, and he suggests perhaps some blood was left over, and we'll follow the view that Kisui Adam means you have to cover some of the blood. So you did on some of the blood, and some of the blood you put on the Mizbeach. But he has a further discussion, which is a great discussion. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Gemara, fourth line down in Ayin Chesem Aleph 78a. First, a small point. Amar v'chia bar Abba, Amar b'yochanan. We are taught by Rabbi Yochanan, Lo shanu ela shenaflu mayim letoch dam. The case that we brought in the opening line, if water and blood get mixed together, we say, well, does it look like water or does it look like blood? That will determine whether I can do this Rika. He says, that's only if you had your blood and then water fell into it. Aval nafal dam lesoch mayim, but if blood falls into water, rishon batel. Each drop that falls in is batel. This is a principle known in Kashrus as kama batel. It's the same idea. And the idea is, let's say I have a drop of milk, and it falls into meat that's cooking on my stove, and it gets absorbed and I can't identify it. And then another drop falls in, like that. And again, it gets absorbed, and another drop falls in, and I'm not doing it on purpose. It just happens. So as long as there's a gap between the first and the second and the third, and so on, each drop that falls in is nullified, and we don't say that at a certain point I'm going to gauge all the drops against the entire mix. He says the same thing is true if blood falls into water, then each drop is going to be nullified, and therefore even if ultimately it gains the appearance of blood, you still can't do this Zrikas Adam with it. Each drop is nullified. It's what we call dichui. Right? Each drop that fell in became ineligible for use on the Mizbeach, and therefore, it can't be reawakened to be used on the Mizbeach. Whereas Amar Rav Papa says, U'le'inyan kisui eino kein. He says, be careful, you can't apply that principle regarding kisui hadam, l'fi she'ein dichoi b'mitzvos. He says, the principle of dichoi applies by karbanos. As Rashi says, d'loshach dichoi ela b'davar she'ela b'dvar kedusha. Dichoi is only relevant regarding regarding kedusha, meaning karbanos. When it comes to mitzvos, it doesn't apply. So in other words, if a drop of blood falls into the water, and you can't identify this as blood anymore, I don't need to do kisui hadam. Another drop falls in. I don't need to do kisui adam. The moment, though, that this mixture looks a little bit more like blood, then I have to do kisui adam on the entire thing. The Kisui Adam was lurking there, waiting to be reawakened. That's the idea. This is a principle we've already seen in the Gemara in Sukkah. I referenced it for you there on the sheet. Sukkah Lamed Gimel regarding Hadassim. What happened, and Rav Papa there is in the discussion there as well. If I have had a Hadass that has its end cut off, right? So it's no good. Right? This happens all the time with Aravos. Right? You cut your Aravos off of the Arava bush, and now the Arava stump that's left is no good. However, if the end regrows, then it is good. Now it's usable again. So what happens if I cut off the top before Sukkos, and then during Sukkos, it regrew? Now I have new leaves on the growing over the top. Now I can use it. Ah, but wait a minute, it was ineligible when Yom Tov started? Yeah, but Rav Papa says there is no dichui regarding mitzvos. It was eligible, and it was just waiting to be to qualify. Same thing is true regarding here, regarding Kisui Adam. Okay.
Is there a connection between Kisui Adam and the eligibility of the korban?
No, apparently not. Yeah. Requirement for Kisui Adam is still must be satisfied, but it doesn't disqualify the use for the korban. We wouldn't call it mitzvah ba'avera, for example. Okay. So that was Rabbi Yochanan, and that was a brief point. The rest of what we're going to talk about today is based on Reish Lakish's statement. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, Hapigul v'hanosar v'hatame. You will see a note in the margin that suggests that the word v'hatame doesn't belong. Rashi doesn't seem to have it at all. Tosfos has it, but tries to work around it. Because what we're talking about is a mixture of two items, not three items. So you could say it's two items out of the three, or whatever it is. But pigul v'hanosar and tame always go together. They're a happy triplet. So hapigul v'hanosar v'hatame. These disqualified pieces of korbanos. Shebelolon is zebazeh v'acholon, which got mixed together. And you ate them, Potter, you are going to be exempt from liability because because for sure one is going to overcome the others by being the majority and nullify the other piece. What are we talking about? Rashi gives us an explanation. If you see Rashi, Shebelol on Zebazeh. Kizayas mizeh u kizayas mizeh. There are only two pieces. So it's an exact kizayas Rashi is talking about of each. The nasan lesoch piv, and he put it into his mouth. Potter mi malkos vafilu hisrubo. He's exempt from malkos, even if they gave him a warning. Why? Efsher shelo yar b'mina chavera v'chulu. Continuing in Rashi, kishu lois osa b'fiv. When he chews it in his mouth, nivla min l'to chavero. The two parts get mixed up. Miuto shel zeh berubo shel zeh. The minority of one and the majority of the other. They start out the same size, but realistically they break off into separate chunks as you chew them. And now each chunk has an unequal mix of the two. And I'm going to follow Rove. I'm going to follow majority, and therefore the minority in each chunk is going to be eliminated. That which is batel is now considered part of that which was mivatel it, which nullified it. Vinigra bishmo, it's called by that name. Vinigra mimino, and it's no longer called its own type. So in other words, if there's a chunk that has minority nosar, majority pigul, the entire entity is now called pigul. Therefore, you can't give proper warning. The It's impossible to say it's going to be 50-50 in the piece, precisely the same quantity of each. And therefore, whichever one ends up being the minority in this mixture is going to be nullified in the greater, but you don't know which one that is. You're not looking inside your mouth, so to speak, to say, where is there more pigle here? Is there more noser here?
Hang on.
V'chimasrinan bay, it's a good question, hold on. V'chimasrinan bay, lo yadinan mishum maynasri bay. When we want to warn him, we don't know what warning to give him. V'tzarech lahasros bo mishum ha'isr, and you have to warn him with the specific violation he's going to make. You can't just say the meat in your mouth is usr. Hilchach, therefore, kimasu bei mishum pigul haviasra safek. When you say you're going to eat pigul, the answer is maybe you won't. That's called hasra safek. You don't know what he's going to eat. Dilma lo b'didei tehevi chiyuva. Maybe the chiyuv won't be, the liability won't be for pigul. V'chein b'nosar, and so too for nosar. You warn about nosar. V'ava gab de b'maskana vadai echad minayu avar b'sh'as hasra. Granted that in the end, we know that he did violate one of them. I'm sorry, Avar. Bishas Hasra, Miyasafek, Hu Bechol Echad. At the time of the Hasra, it's still uncertain as to which one it's going to be, Im Yavar Olav Im Lo, as to whether he'll violate this particular Isra or not. Vasra Safek, Lav Hasrahi. And that doesn't count as Hasra. I keep wondering as I read this whether Rashi doesn't say that it's not really two precisely Kazayas pieces and we're worried about each little chunk, but rather he's saying in general it can't be that they're overall equal size pieces. But I did read other Mefarshim who read it as being about the about each chunk. In any case, that's the idea. The warning doesn't work. So Meir asks, well, wait a minute, why don't you just give him a warning? You are about to eat, Pigol. You are about to eat. No, sir. And that way, you cover both. One Asra is invalid, and one of them is valid. And indeed, Tosos asks that question.
And Tosos, at the time, it isn't one valid and one invalid, because you don't know which is valid.
You don't need to know. You do not need to know. If I see a guy standing in front of a group of people... Right, no, but Tosos points out, it's not true.
Rashi's saying Hatrat Safek means that you can't be sure whether either one is affected.
Right, and the problem, Rashi doesn't even throw out the possibility that could give both Hasros. He doesn't offer the idea. Tosfos goes on at length. You see that Tosfos, a big old Vanosar, Vanosar?
You gotta eat both
seisim,
according to that kasha.
I'm sorry?
You gotta eat both seisim together.
Why?
To give a straw, I'll pick all nice, but if you only eat one, you don't know what it is.
Right, no, that's true. I would have to eat the entire quantity. That's correct. I'm eating the whole thing. And Tosfos says, just say to him, you're gonna eat this, you're gonna eat that. He says, if I'm standing in front of a group of people and I raise my hand up to hit somebody, so you can warn me. If you hit him, you're going to get this. If you hit him, you're going to get this. And you hit him and all that. And whichever one I hit, I fulfilled one of the Hasraos. The other Hasraos are void. And Tosfos says, indeed, that would count as a Hasra. So he comes up with this whole complex case, which I have to tell you, quite frankly, I did not get. I can give you the details of it, but I don't understand what he's saying. The idea is that I took two kizesim of one of these species and four kizesim of the other of these species, and I mixed them up in the plate, and I ate the whole thing. And therefore, the majority is going to end up, I feel like I was back in Kenim. The majority of one is going to nullify the other. If you want to go through this and email me and let me know what you found, that would be great. I ran out of time yesterday to try to figure out what Tosis was trying to say here. I got the question, I did not get the answer. But that's his point. If you want to see his question, it begins at the bottom of the thin lines with the words Vakasha, Dim Hisra Bishlash Dam Pshita Deloka. That's where his first part is just quoting Rashi, and that's where he launches into his challenge. Okay. For our purposes though, the point is that for sure, one of them is going to nullify the other in his mouth. And the Gemara says, six lines up from the bottom, seven lines up from the bottom, that we learn three lessons here. I gave it to you on your sheet as A, B, and C. Shmami na tlas. We learn three things from here. Number one, shmami na isur mevatlin zed zed. That two things that are usser can actually still nullify each other. I don't say, well, they're all usser, and they have their own standalone significance, but one can be mevatl the other. The pigul can be mevatl the noser, or vice versa. Ushmamino on the second point, is that no Saint Tom Berov labda oraisa. The idea that if I have a minority item in a mixture, but it makes the taste of the entire mixture like itself, it affects the taste of the entire mixture, then I say, that means it's significant, that's only derabanan. And the reason he's saying this is because here you have pigol and noser, and we are assuming right now the pigol came from one type of animal, the noser came from another type of animal. Okay, one was from a ram and one was from a goat, and we're saying here I only care about majority. No one is saying, well, wait a minute, maybe the pigol affects the taste of the whole thing. Maybe the ram affected the taste of the goat. No one even entertained that here. That tells me that the idea of no Saint Tom, that which affects the taste of the whole is significant, is actually a derabanan. It's not a del raisa. If it was a del raisa, then that would have had to enter into our calculation for liability for pigul and noser. Ushmamina, and the third point, hasra safek lo shma hasra, that if you give uncertain warnings, then they don't count. That's the third point. So the rest of our discussion is going to challenge point B, that taste only matters midrabanan. If anyone has to leave before the end and I don't get to discuss with you the issue of Tam Ki Iker, take a look at Tosfos Masiv and Rabbi Akiva Eger on that Tosfos. Okay. So Rava is going to challenge the second point within Reish Lakish, that no Saint Tam only matters midrabanan. And he does it based on a discussion regarding matzah as well as challah. I have a dough that's made up of one of the five species of grain, right, which we usually render as wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. Whether that's right or not is a nice discussion. But wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt are our grains. So what if I have a dough that's made up partially of one of the five, let's say wheat, and also something that's not of the five, rice? What's its status? Is this considered to be dough made of the five grains or not? Ramifications, liability for challah, and whether it can be used for matzah on Pesach. So that's the discussion. Masiv Rava. Rava asks, we learned, Mishnah and challah, Asa isa min chitin umin orez. You made a dough out of wheat as well as rice. So I got one of the five there, and the other is not of the five. That's my issue. So in such a case, im yesh batam dagan chayeves bechala. If it tastes like the wheat, you're obligated in challah. End of quote for the moment. So he says, aha, see that? I'm concerned about nosing tam. I'm concerned about taste, and not about majority. Even if the majority is rice. So his answer is, yeah, but that's midrabanan. That's chala midrabanan. That's chala, not chala del raisa. Yeah, but iachi emasefa. Look at the end of that Mishnah, which says, Adam yotze bayideh chavasu pesach. You can use it for your matzah on Pesach. So I don't understand.
That must be del raisa.
That's del raisa, correct. Rashi walks you through it. If you see Rashi on the bottom of the page, asa isasa menachita and menahores, vadam yotze bayideh chavasu shall asay dekum echo matzah bepesach. You fulfill your mitzvah asay of get up and eat matzah on Pesach. And if in fact it's only the Rabbanim that I care about taste, then how do I fulfill my obligation this way? You know you can only use matzah from one of the five. Spelled matzah is fine, assuming spelled is one of the five. Rice is not. You can end up with matzah that was kidneyos. That'd be cute. It's only eligible for matzah if it's something that will be asur if it became chametz. Rice does not become chametz. It doesn't ferment the way the grains do. It rots instead, as the Gemara says. And therefore, it doesn't count. So that's my big question. That's Rava's challenge. I'm sorry? Correct. The miut is not batel as long as it affects the taste. Yaakov, what?
Can there be a svara to say that the bittel or not is different by isser than by heter?
That the bittel is different by isser than by heter. Interesting. That's not where they go with it, but we do have such a concept. In kashrus, we do have such a concept. Well, that's not tamfgam. They're not even going anywhere near. The assumption is that none of these, this isn't a mouse falling into the beer. Which I understand they take very seriously in Canada. We're not even Tom of Gam, we're not even Hetera Nafal or Isura Nafal. Instead, the answer is, Ella rather, top of the next page. Ein chesamid beis, ela min b'she'eno mino b'taima, min b'mino b'ruba. The answer is that if the two items are of the same variety, like we talked about with dam and dam before in the Mishnah, in that case, that's Rava's case. I'm sorry, min b'she'eno mino, where they're of two different varieties. That's Rava's case, right? Where you have wheat and you have rice. So then, b'taima, then I go by taste. Min b'mino, two items of the same type, which means we're now changing our Mishnah. The pigol and noser discussion now is items of the same type, right? We're changing Reish Lakish. So the pigol and noser were both the same type of meat. Min b'mino, beruba, then I go by rove. Now, important point, I made it a note on your sheet to remember as we go through this, it's going to matter, is that it's easier to nullify something via majority than via taste and appearance. Do you understand what I mean? If I have a mixture of two separate items, it's easier for me to nullify the minority than it's going to be for me to nullify a part of it because it doesn't affect the taste. At 49%, something will likely affect the taste and possibly the appearance of a mixture. But it'll only be 49%, and therefore it'll be batel if I follow rove.
Kedais is no longer relevant?
Kedais is not relevant at this point. That's correct. So that's a whole other discussion about chametz. They're not in that. So what I'm saying is that if I have two items in a mixture, one is 60% and one is 40%, if I apply the rove standard, then 40% is going to be batel. If I apply the taste or affecting the appearance standard, then it will not necessarily be batel. You follow?
Yeah.
That's an important point as we go through this Gemara, as you'll see. Okay, so that's our approach. Our approach is to say that nullifying taste, and if, that, I'm sorry, our point is min bimino, if they look the same, then I go with rov. I go with rov. If they don't, if they're not the same species, then I go with taste.
Rice and teeth and rice and wheat is it's not the same kind, so.
Correct, and there exactly. Then I go by what it tastes like. Correct. So that's our answer right now for the problem. But wait a minute. Now we have to go back to our discussion in our Mishnah about blood that got mixed up with wine. With wine, the Gemara asks, "Undishar min bimino." Why don't I use the same standard for both min bimino and min b'she'eno mino? Why don't I go with taste or appearance? Appearance is the discussion here. Even in a case which is min bimino, how would I do that? I pretend. Right, Rowan, it's a concept we've already seen. If wine gets mixed in with blood, and it's a red wine, so they all look the same. We'll talk about white wine in a moment. But if it's red wine mixed in with blood, let me pretend that the red wine is water, right? And say, would this affect the appearance of a mixture? If the same ratio was kept, would the water dilute the appearance of the blood or not? Why don't I go by that standard? In fact, that's what I think we did in the Mishnah. If you go back to your table, we said if wine gets mixed in, treat it as though the wine is water. That's our argument. He says, that's the evaluation we want to do. Disnan, as our Mishnah said, Nisari biyayin roen oso kielu humayim. If it gets mixed in with wine, we see it, we assume it means wine, as though it was water. My love, isn't that then roen oso liyayin kielu humayim? We see the wine as though it was water? So the Gemara gives me two answers. Here's our first answer. You misread the Mishnah. Lo, roen oso lidam kielu humayim. You look at the blood as though it is water, not at the wine as though it is water. And the idea then is that in fact we're going to follow Rov. We're actually doing in the Mishnah is following Rov. That's what the Mishnah meant.
It's not min bimino, no? Blood and wine.
It's no, it's min b'she'eno mino. Right, no, that's true. It's min b'she'eno mino. But our question is, apply the same standard regarding min bimino that you did in our Mishnah regarding min b'she'eno mino. We're going by appearance. So his answer is no. Our mission is actually not going by appearance. It's actually going by majority. So he says, "Iachi, if so, batel mebayale." Then what you should have just said is batel, because that's really what you meant by saying that I view it as though the blood is water, right? The blood is water and it can't affect the appearance of the wine. What you really meant is that it's going to be it's going to be batel, meaning it's going to be pasul. You won't be able to use it at all for the zrika. That's what you really meant to say in our Mishnah. You should have said batel. The Odin further, Tanya, I have a brisa regarding min b'she'eno mino, and we're going to see the full brisa in a moment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rowan Oso Ki Ilu Hu Yayin Adom. If you have white wine that gets mixed in with water, we see the white wine as though it was red wine. Imdiha marehu kasher, if its appearance would be lightened by the water, then that water overwhelms the mixture, as we'll see, and kasher has to do with what we're going to see there. They have puzzle, and if not, not. So there's a min b'she'eno mino case. It's white wine mixed with water, and I say, let's see it as though it was red wine, and let's go by the appearances. We don't go with majority. So our challenge was, well, why don't we use the method from our Mishnah, where we saw blood as water, where we saw wine as water, and our answer is we didn't do that in the Mishnah. We went with Rove, to which he says it's not true. We did not go with Rove. We don't go with Rov. Number one, if it was Rov, we would have said Batel there. And number two, we know that Rabbi Yehuda believes in the principle of Rowan and appearances in the case of water and white wine. So throw out the idea of following the majority. And let's go back to our original question, which was, in the case where you have these mixtures, and it's min bimino, we should say, go with appearances. And that's our ultimate question. So the Gemara says, you know what? tanoi. It's actually a machlokes tanoim. Disanya, here's the brisa. Deli sheyeshbo yayin lavan ochala vehit below. You have a pail that is tame. Alright? A pail that is tame, we're assuming right now, tame inside and out. The sheyeshbo yayin lavan, and it's holding white wine, ochala, or milk. Vehit below, and you dip it into a mikvah without pouring out its contents. Okay, that's the case. So did the tvila work? Holchanacha harov. The Tanakhama says you go with the majority of its contents. That's the Tanakhama's position. Sorry.
Holchanacha harov. The contents of the dali.
The contents of the dali. That's correct.
The question is whether
dilute.
So that's true. But the question is the majority of its contents the mikvah water, or is it the white wine or the milk that you had inside it? The point is that they're all clear or similar in appearance. No, we're not doing shinoi. Shinoi mara is as far as the qualification of the mikvah. Our question is whether the pail is considered tovold or not. Not about the kashrus of the mikvah.
Okay, so we're not worried about whether we ruin the mikvah.
No, the mikvah is fine. The mikvah has 100,000 saw in it. There's no issue.
Was it the marik
No, we have no concerns about the kashrus of the mikvah. Our question is whether the pail is considered to have been immersed or not, because remember that you need to expose the entire pail to mikvah water.
Yeah, but the content of the dli has to be in butter, no?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes, the answer is yes. The point is, I want to tovel this pail. I need to make sure that the contents of the pail are going to be considered mikvah water. So his rule is, the Tanakhama says, you go by the majority of what's in the pail. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. This is what we just saw before. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rohan Oso Ki Iluhu Yayin Adom. He says, I look at the contents of the pail as though they were red wine. Imdi Amareyu Kasher. If its appearance would have been weakened by the water, then there's more enough, then the water is significant. Kasher. Vim lav pasul. And if not, it's pasul. So the Tanakhama says, follow the majority. Rabbi Yehuda says, follow appearances. It's a machlokes tanoim. And that can resolve all my sources now. In some cases we followed the rov. Yeah, that was one tana. In some cases we followed appearances, that was another tana. That's all, it's a machlokes tanoim. That was easy, and not so fast.
This is only min b'she'ino mino, right?
That's only min b'she'ino mino. Unless you want to say that because they look alike, that makes them min b'mino. And I think that actually is the answer. Just like the answer regarding the blood and the wine that we saw before, it's considered min b'mino because they look the same. The idea of min b'mino as being a problem is because I can't distinguish between them. And therefore I don't know what my ratio is. That's why min b'mino is a problem. So here, it's not that they're the same chefza. Correct. It's not that they're the same chefza. That's correct. So that's why before min b'mino was considered min b'mino on blood and wine in the Mishnah, and that's why it's considered min b'mino now when they all look alike. So it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama. So the Gemara says v'riminu, but v'rimini, is that really true? Do you really think that Rabbi Yehuda says that? We go with appearances. What about the following case? Delisha humale roken v'hit below. You have a pail that's full of saliva. Ew. Okay, v'hit below, and you dipped it in the mikvah. Right. Ki'ilu tabal. It's as though you didn't dip it in the mikvah at all. And the reason seems to be, as Rashi explains, because the saliva is so thick that it will keep the water from accessing the pail. Doesn't literally mean that it's full of it. The point is that the water can't get to the pail. Right. Mei raglayim, if it's full of urine, ro and oso ki'ilu hein mayim. So I see it as though that was actually water, meaning even though the appearance is not really that different, I treat it as though it was water, and I don't need to it is a type of water, and therefore I don't need to nullify it. And male mechatas, here's our key, if it's filled with para aduma water. Sorry?
Wouldn't it be that then it becomes min b'mino and it is batel d'rov?
No, it's considered part of the water. It's considered part of the water. It doesn't even need rov. Look at Rashi Rowan and you'll see where he says it. I just want to make sure to get through this before people have to leave. But look at Rashi and that's what he says. Rowan osikili and mayim. Male mechatas, if it's filled with paraduma water, right, which is inherently tamei, then you require that there be more mikvah water than para aduma water in order to nullify it. So you see in this source regarding the para aduma, this Mishnah, that number one, we say you follow rov, regarding mechatas, but regarding meraglayim, we employ the principle of roin, that we see whether it is one or the other, right? We see the meraglayim as though they were mayim. Ha! Who is it who believes in roin? Rabbi Yehuda. And here he's telling me, regarding mechatas, to follow the rov. You told me Rabbi Yehuda believes in appearances. Which is it? Man shamet le d'islay roin. Who is it who believes in roin? Rabbi Yehuda. We used Rabbi Yehuda earlier. We saw that he believed in roin. Ugetani desagi le beruba. And it says that rov is sufficient. So amar Abaye lo kasha. Abaye gives me one answer. No problem. Hadidei hadirabei. One case he was just quoting Rabban Gamliel, not himself. On the white wine case, he was quoting Rabban Gamliel. Why? Desanya, because the Brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda omer mishum Rabban Gamliel, ein dam mevatel dam, ein rog mevatel rog, ve'ein meraglayim mevatel meraglayim. Rabban Gamliel says, This bittul doesn't work on min b'mino. That's Rabbi Gamliel's position down the line. So when Rabbi Yehuda on white wine was strict and said that I follow appearances, which it makes it harder to nullify, as we said in the beginning, then he was just quoting Rabban Gamliel. His own position is to be more lenient and follow Rov like he does in our pale case. That's why he's lenient in the pale case, to follow the majority. Alternatively, Rava gives me another answer, and with this we'll finish. Rava Amar Bidlisha Tocho Tahor Vegabo Tame Askinon. Rava says, no, we're talking about a pail that is actually Tahor on the inside, and only the outside became Tame. Rashi says, Tumas Mashkin. It was touched by Tame liquids on the outside, and the inside, because it's a clay kibble, it's a receptacle, remains Tahor. Dimidina Sagi Lehu Becholdehu. So by letter of the law, any little amount of water that actually enters is sufficient as Tevila, because the inside doesn't require tevila. It's only the outside that was tame, and the outside was exposed to water. It should say. The Rabbanan said, we want a full immersion, because otherwise you might go easy on the pail and say, I don't want to dip it at all. So he said, once I have a majority, I've satisfied the Rabbanan. The whole requirement for this extra level of immersion was a Rabbanan, therefore I'm not as concerned. So the upshot is, there is no challenge from the case of immersion of a pail, and therefore I can go with my answer that it's a machlokes tanoim, whether you go with majority or you go by appearance / taste with min b'mino.